And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God's word that we focus upon this morning is around that theme, God is faithful. And we heard that in the epistle reading this morning. And you, as you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, look how that verse starts out with three simple words, and yet so complex. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. I mean, could we hear any more exciting, wonderful news than those simple three words, God is faithful? And with reference to God, it means that he is faithful 100% of the time. That God is consistent 100% of the time. That God keeps his promises 100% of the time. God will never tell us something and then change his mind or renege on a promise. It's against the character of who God is, because he clearly reveals himself to us this morning as being faithful. And by the way, this isn't just for a certain period of time, but it's for all time. It's from eternity past to eternity forward, and everything in between. There will be, and there never is, a time that God fails in being faithful. Think of the ramifications of that for you and me. Now, in light of that God is faithful, we certainly know by experience and by observation that we live in a world that fails horribly in the realm of faithfulness. And dare I say, each one of us fails horribly. And maybe that's where we need to begin, as we begin with us. And let me just throw out the question to you as I throw it out to me. Have you always been faithful? Have you always been faithful? Have you always been faithful to your wedding vows? Have you always been faithful to your children that God has entrusted with you? As a child, have you always been faithful to your parents? As we think of the workplace, as an employee, have you always been faithful to your employer? Or as an employer, have you always been faithful to your employees? In other words, fulfilling whatever you've promised and have been obligated to do for them. Or as you think of making promises to family and friends and neighbors, have you fulfilled those promises 100% of the time? Are you totally reliable in them? And if you think you're doing pretty good so far, what about taxes? Are you faithful in reporting to the government everything that they would like you to report to them with regards to taxes? Or how about being on time? Are you always 100% consistent in being on time when you promise to be somewhere at a certain time? Well, how are you doing so far? I'm not doing so good. No. And God's law demands perfection. His faithfulness is perfect. And yet I think you would agree with me, we fall way short. And we understand the hurt and the pain of others being unfaithful to us. Maybe it's in a broken relationship or a broken marriage. Or maybe it's that pink slip that you get at work. Remember one time, Lindy, the office staff, they were having a birthday party for Lindy. And the big guns come in that she worked for. They didn't know it was her birthday, but they gave her the pink slip at her birthday party. That's quite a gift. Or maybe you bought a car And boy, the salesman just said it's the best car you could ever have and makes all of these promises, and you put it on the driveway and you're driving around for a while and you find out it's an absolute lemon. You go back and they say, you know, it's tough. You bought the car, it's yours. Hurts, doesn't it? And the list could go on and on. Maybe for teenagers here this morning, or for all of us as we think about earlier years in life, have you ever been stood up on a date? You know, you're all excited and you think you're going to meet this person and you're waiting for them and waiting for them and they don't show up. A promise that was broken. Unfaithfulness. Or how about the fine print? You got these documents and then there's pages of this real fine print. And the person that's making the contract with you says, oh, you don't need to read through all of that. I'll just explain to you what that is. Just sign on the dotted line. And we sign and then we find out there was something in the fine print that we should have read. And it may cost us a great deal of money as well as other kinds of pain. It hurts when others are unfaithful to us. But think about it for a moment. Isn't it amazing that we still put trust in our fellow man and woman? Even, dare I say, sometimes above and before God? But God, dear friends, is the one who is faithful. And we would all say, well, yeah, we know that, Pastor. But do we believe it? And this morning I want to just bring forth to you and some of God's outstanding. I mean, all of his promises are outstanding, but these are a few that came to my mind. And by the way, you don't have to worry about remembering or writing these down. They're in the bulletin and sermon notes there that you can reference later. But Matthew 7:7, for instance. Jesus comes to you and me and says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The Lord doesn't say, oh, you know, try this, it might happen. But he says to ask and to seek and to knock and it will. What do you think about that one? And maybe you're battling a tremendous illness in your life. Maybe you found out that you have some kind of a terminal thing and you're thinking, yeah, but Jesus said, and he's far beyond whatever my illness. If I pray hard enough, then maybe he will take that away. In fact, he says he will. And then the illness gets worse. Do you begin to question, is God faithful to his promises? Or Psalm 22:24, another amazing passage. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Now think about in a time of great desperation, in a time of great pain, in a time of feeling overwhelmed by whatever you may be dealing with in life, do you believe that? Do you believe that God really is hearing your cry for help? And you may think, well, it doesn't seem like anything's changing. But you see, there's where the question comes in. Is God really faithful? Or Psalm 46:1, we probably know this one very well. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. This is the Almighty God saying to you and me through his word that he is an ever-present help in trouble. Do you always feel like the Almighty God is right here with you in the midst of the trials you go through? And I ask myself the same. Or here's an incredible one, Matthew 6:31-32. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Wonderful promise that Jesus gives. But wonder if you're like Lindy and you get the pink slip, but wonder if it's during a time that that's your only source of income and the debt is already high and it's like overwhelming. Wow, really, God, you allowed this to happen after everything else that's going on? And yet you promise, but what are we doing? We begin to question if God is faithful. Psalm 34:19, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Wonder if you're a grandparent and you see your grandchild dying and you're pleading with God to spare their life and that little child dies. The Lord delivers him from all those troubles. And then the Lord even takes it up a notch. And those words of Jesus, remember when Lazarus died and Jesus says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Wow, never die. And it's interesting, Jesus says to Martha, whom he's speaking to, but to you and me as well, do you believe this? Do you believe it? There's a cemetery right to the north. There's a lot of dead people there, bodies, but Jesus says, you will never die. You see, it's very easy to slip into questioning those simple words of God, his testimony that he is faithful. Or how about 1 Thessalonians 4:16? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. Here's the second coming as we look forward to that and prepare for it in Advent and throughout our lives. With the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wow, what an amazing promise. As you're out there at the cemetery, your loved one is in a casket, the hole has been dug and it's suspended above that hole, and you know that their body soon will be buried. Do you believe it, that that body will come to life again? Well, it's difficult at times, isn't it? And are we always all in with God on this? Probably not. We fall short, even in trusting in his promises. But you know, when you think about it, they're all based upon that simple characteristic of God, that God is faithful. Not part of the time, not most of the time, but 100%. Of the time. And here is what's really incredible. It's unconditional. In other words, God doesn't say, I'll be faithful to you if. And look at this passage, 2 Timothy 2:13, where God says through Paul's letter to Timothy, his word, if we are faithless, look at what it says about God. He remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God does not change his character. If the whole world rejects him, if the whole world is 100% of the time unfaithful to God, guess what? God remains true to his character. He remains faithful. Boy, doesn't that lift a burden off of our shoulders? Yeah, I think, whoa, God, there's so many times that I have failed you, and yet you're going to remain faithful to me? And God says, yes, all the time. And you know, when we consider the history of the church, we see God clearly revealing it by his actions. Think about Adam and Eve. Created them perfect, gave them this perfect paradise to live in. The world was perfect. The only news was good news. And then they chose to rebel against God, as we have followed and chosen to do the same. And yet, what did God promise to Adam and Eve after they had already fallen? The seed of the woman, the Messiah who would come, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you think of the grief that God went through dealing with his church's unfaithfulness throughout the history of the church leading up to Jesus' time and including Jesus' time on earth. You think about the flood. God destroyed all of human life and animal life except for Noah and his family and the animals that were taken upon the ark. That's how bad it got, but God's kept his promise. He didn't say, I'm done and I'm destroying it all, but he kept his promise. The seed would still come. And then you think about his deliverance of his people out of Egypt and their rebellion out in the wilderness on their journey. And yet God patiently worked through them. Even they were worshiping idols. But God did not renege on his promise. We think of the Babylonian captivity due to God's discipline upon his people. And even before that happened, God said, you're going to be there for 70 years, and then I'm going to bring you back home. And he did, just like he said he would. God is faithful. And oh, right now, before our eyes, seeing the cross, seeing the manger, we see it all. We live in the time of the fulfillment. The Messiah has come. Jesus came as that little babe in Bethlehem with his eyes on the cross, and he went there and he died as the Savior of the world for everyone to the exclusion of no one. Why? Because he is faithful. And the majority of the people living when Jesus was visible in the flesh on this earth rejected him, hated him, and yet Jesus goes to the cross out of love for them and for you and me. And as a result, we are blessed to have this faith. We are blessed now to be empowered to return that faithfulness back to God. To live in this marvelous faith that he gives us. Do you know that there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus that have been fulfilled to every detail? And the main prophecy left unfulfilled is when Christ returns, which that too will be fulfilled, only God knows when. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God is faithful. That is really good news. And in his faithfulness, we hear the ramifications in verse 4 of the epistle reading this morning, where God says, through Paul, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you. God's riches at Christ's expense. God has given you the gift of new life and faith. Despite our sin, despite our rebellion, God has come in and he changes us forever. And if we could put on the screen 1 Corinthians 1:8, and not only does God give us this new life, but he sustains it. And at the end of our reading this morning, we heard, who will sustain you to the end. Look at that. That's a promise. Not maybe, not might, but who will sustain you to the end. Do you know what that means for us? It means 100% security. It means that nothing can separate us from God unless we choose to just simply walk away from God. God doesn't force us to believe. But he hands his gift in our lap and says, here, it is yours. He is faithful. Think about our lives now. Life can really be miserable if we question that. And think about the times that you have, as I think about the times I have. It changes our whole outlook on life. But when we are in, when we trust God, when we allow God to just shower us with this incredible promise of his faithfulness, No matter what we face, we know that God's on top of it, in control of it, and is going to resolve it, even if it's our little grandchild that is dying. Even if they physically die, they were baptized, and they were given new life, and they're in glory in heaven now. God has remained true to his promise, but we need to see it from God's view as he reveals it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this Advent season, we are blessed to live in the fulfillment, to look back and to prepare our hearts for the celebration of this incredible time when God came into the world in this most amazing way. But what an encouragement to us, what a solid foundation for us to look forward, knowing that the Lord will return again in all his glory. In the meantime, Mr. Whitney, what do? We wait and we watch as we continue our journey of faith, trusting that God is faithful. In his precious name, amen.